We are in this series. We started last week. I love this. We are really reaffirming who we are as a church. Reaffirming, we've grown so much over the last 5.5, 6 years. And so we are talking about that foundation. We allude to it. Who we are as a church. Why church matters. The church that matters. And really a part of that is church matters. And so we're looking at the foundation of who we are. Now, is this important? Absolutely. Because if we don't understand our foundation, then we don't have any dedication, inspiration, commitment to being a part and fulfilling God's plan for our lives in His church. And God's plan is that we be a part of a local body of believers. Now, church doesn't save us. We're saved through the work of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary. We confess with our mouth and believe with our heart, God raised Jesus from the dead, then we're saved. And so we're saved through the work of the cross. But we also understand this, that once we're saved, He saves us and He puts us, it's God's plan. You see the norm throughout the entire New Testament that God put people into His church. We see the universal church, we see the church at large. But remember, most of your New Testament is written to local churches. Church at Ephesus, church at Galatia, church at Rome, Thessalonica, the churches in Revelation. God's plan is the local church. And there's an incredible undermining of the church. There's a cynicism about the church from the world, about pastors and about people who attend church and the labels that come along with that. But I will tell you, it is God's plan. It is God's plan to grow us, develop us, to be a part of His body, to be a part of the local church. I love the church. Now, may not be your experience, but I was raised in the church. 5 days old, mom brought me to church, grew up in a little country church and slat pews and no running water my whole life. It was, we're going to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, youth rallies, revivals, everything revolved around church. I love church. I'm thankful for church. I will tell you this, the most exciting things I've ever experienced has happened in church. The funniest things I've ever seen happen in church. Church is an exciting place. Some people think it's boring. I think it's alive. I think it's wonderful. Thank God, and I'm a fierce defender of the church. People say, what good does the church make? And then there are those that even try to undermine. I've never understood people who criticize or undermine their own church. I've always been taught, lived out, that God didn't create us to be independent, but he created us to be interdependent. And that we are to be a part of a fellowship, and that the Christian life is not to be lived in isolation, and that, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, we live out here and we're all spiritual, but we can't get along with people. Therein is the problem. The Christian faith is designed so that we learn how to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. It's about loving God and loving people. Some people want to love God and be alone. Isolationists can't get along. That's why you need the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why you need the fruit of the Spirit. That's why you need to be in church so you can learn how to not be so selfish. You can develop and grow and become a more loving, compassionate, caring, patient person. The church of Jesus Christ is great because Jesus is the foundation. Jesus is the foundation. Amen? Here's what the Bible says, and I tell you, for Matthew 16, 18, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church of Jesus Christ is strong because Jesus is the builder of the church. Sure, he has leaders. Sure, he has pastors. But we recognize this. Jesus is the foundation of the church at large, of the local church. He's who we talk about. His word is where we look. It's what we sing about. It's all built up on him. He said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let me tell you this. The church of Jesus Christ is winning. The church of Jesus Christ is victorious. You know why? Because Jesus is victorious. And he said the gates of hell will not prevail, which means this, the church is invading. No one ever says, grab the gates and let's charge. The gates are designed to hold captive. The gates are designed to keep someone inside. And here's what the Bible says, the gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell are not gonna keep the church from reaching into hell and preaching the gospel and seeing people captivated by the life-giving freedom of Jesus Christ. Amen. Sure. So all sin does, all Satan does, all hell wants to do is keep you bound. All the enemy wants to do is keep you addicted. All the enemy wants to do is to hold you captive. But what did Jesus say? He said, I've come to preach good news to the captives. I've come to set the captive free. Someone say amen. Are we awake today? The church is victorious. I look across this room and I see numbers of people who were behind those gates, but they've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. How many can give testimony? That was me. I once was captive, but now I'm free. Amen. And so the church is great because Jesus is the foundation. It's built on him and it's built on his word. We preach the word of God. And the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 1:12, you'll need to jot it down, that he watches over his word to perform it. He watches over his word. The church is God's plan, the local church. He gave us some parameters, but he didn't give us everything. He allows us some freedoms, if you will, pursue him, to find what works in that particular culture. It's not a compromise of the word, but doing everything we can that we might win some. The church is an embassy here on earth. It's a safe place. It's a safe haven. I've used this illustration so many times, but it's the best one that it paints the picture for me. It's a safe place. You know, we understand the thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes to give life more abundantly. The church being a safe place. See what happens when we separate ourselves from the church. We make ourselves vulnerable to the enemy's attack and to the defeat of our own minds. You've watched the Animal Channel where they show Africa and lions and zebra and water buffalo and antelope and every one of those situations where lion or tiger, one of the big cats, is laying wait and there's a herd of antelope. That lion or group, the pride, never attacks the group. They always look for an injured one. They always look for one that has separated themselves from the pack, and they jump on it. And it's the same way in the church. When we begin to isolate ourselves, separate ourselves, we become vulnerable. There is strength and there's protection when we stay connected under the umbrella of God's protection, the umbrella being His church, and connected together with other believers. Why do we exist as a church? Well, last week we talked about the church that matters gives glory to God. We give glory to God. The Bible says this: to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Isaiah 42 says, let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim His praise in the coastlands. In the NIV, New King James, it says, in the islands. We exist, Christian life, the island church, exists to give glory to God in this island. Amen. And we exist to seek His glory. We want to see the glory. When Pastor Luke talked about it this morning, seeing the glory of God and how His glory filled the temple. Lord, let Your presence fill this sanctuary today. That's our heart's desire. So why do we exist? We exist to give God glory. We exist to pursue His glory. Let me ask you, did you give God glory this week? Did you think about those 13 things of how whatever we do, so whether you eat or drink, 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Did you think about giving Him glory? Did you think about saying, God, I pursue, I want to experience Your manifest presence. I want to have an Isaiah. I want to know You more. And so the church that matters gives glory to God. This morning, these moments that we have, the church that matters gathers together. You see, a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple, Christ follower, is someone who more than enthusiastically follows Christ. More than enthusiasm or just being fans. Now, I love enthusiasm. But a follower of Jesus Christ is committed, willing to lay down his life. A genetic marker, spiritual DNA of someone who is a Christ follower, joins themselves together with other believers. In fact, some of the authors I read this week question salvation if we're not willing to be a part of the body. I shared in part with you that last week. Well, we were part of the body of Christ. And I read, one man said, if we say we're a part of the universal church, but we're not a part of the local church, we really may not be a part of the family of God, because that is an absolute necessity of being a Christ follower. Is being a part, is being committed to His church. Why should we gather? Why do we gather together on a consistent basis on the Lord's Day? We've talked about this, why we don't worship on Saturday, on the Sabbath, why we worship on the Lord's Day or the first day of the week or Sunday. It's the day that He rose from the dead. Why is it important in the church, the New Testament church, maintain worshiping on the Lord's Day? Why do we do that? Well, number one is this: we're commanded to. We are commanded to. It's a matter of obedience. Listen to this. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25 says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter into the holy place of the blood of Jesus by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us, everybody say, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us, everybody, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us, everybody, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Now watch this. Not neglecting to meet together. In fact, let's quote this verse number 25 together. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Not neglecting. Some may have read this verse, not forsaking. If you've been in the church a while, not neglecting, not forsaking the meeting together. God's plan was for New Testament Christians. You see it all through. They got saved. They got baptized in water. Many of them baptized in the Holy Spirit. You see in the church. And then what happened? They became a part of a local church. They were a part of a church. You see it over and over and over. It's God's plan. Why do people in North Korea today, I've been in the Yalu River, I've been feet from North Korea, right on the banks, worked in a hospital in China, North Korea, people come in, study the word, memorize it, go back. Why do they go back to their land and literally, of all countries, literally put their life on the line to meet together in a house church? Why in China? There's churches everywhere. I've seen them, magnificent churches, government sponsored, but why do people meet in homes, risking their life? Why in Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran do people risk their lives? Because they somehow get this whole biblical concept that church is not an option. And they're willing to risk their lives to be with other believers. When in America, why, we look for excuse not to go to church. We'll allow anything to detract us. Well, I had family. My dad used to say, you know, I've been in ministry 58 years and I've never had family show up at church time. He said, you know why? Because they know I'm going to church. You say you're becoming legalistic. No. I'm trying to help somebody to understand that God's plan is for you to love him and to be connected together in the body and that he commanded it. Don't neglect it. And he talks about this. He says, you know, it becomes a habit. You don't go and then you get in the habit of not going. You look up habits, Google it. You'll find a lot of different bad habits. Some of them are that I saw: smoking, overspending, gambling, overeating, overdrinking, taking drugs, complaining, being chronically late, eating junk food, and being super connected. Always can't put down your phone, texting, tweeting, Facebooking. They talk about those being bad habits. The writer of Hebrews here says that some people have developed some bad habits of staying away from church. And scripture leads us, and the continuity of scripture and what we see all through is the not neglecting being together. Let me tell you something about the church. Jesus loves his church. He loves his church and he's gonna build it. Jesus bought his church with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And Jesus is building his church. And I don't totally get this. We have this consumer mentality in America. People first of all, internet date with a church through Facebook or in our online and our website to figure out if they're going to come to that church, which is an interesting concept to my generation. But people internet, you know, people say, I looked online, I listened to that. And that's great. I'm glad you do, and I'm glad we offer that. In fact, my chiropractor, there's a man in this church today. She invited him to church. She gets online. She told me this week, she said, I get on that little app and I listen to the messages. I love all the cool things that we're able to do and how we're able to connect people. Amen? But this whole idea, this whole consumer mentality, this whole shop idea, well, I don't like this, so I'm going to go somewhere else. And this whole, I'm going to go here a while, there, I'm going to go there a while, then I'm going to go there a while. It's not beneficial. It's not beneficial for you. You never get involved in ministry. It's not beneficial in the church. They can't count on you for ministry. There's something about being committed to a body of believers. And for some reason, there are people who feel like, I'm immune. I set the rules. I'm in charge. I don't want to go to church. I'm not going to go to church. And what it is it is a direct violation of God's command. He commanded us to be a part of church. Why do we go to church? We go to church to worship. How many worship today? I'm gonna tell you, when Luke had us to just spend some time, just those few seconds, and then he had us to worship, I surrender all, and just the whole set today, what an incredible experience. Do you value this incredible corporate worship opportunity? Let me tell you something, you should. The Bible says, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. You see, in that time, before Christ, if you'd have been a Jew and you approached the temple in Jerusalem, you couldn't get very near. If you were a woman, you could only proceed to a fence that separated the court of women and the court from men. If you were a man but not a priest, there was another fence to stop you. You couldn't get near the presence of God. If you were the tribe of Levi and a priest, you could go around to a larger temple building, but even a priest couldn't go in to experience the Shekinah glory. It was only the high priest. And it was an awesome thing. And they would tie a rope on him. And they had bells on him. And he would go under that curtain into the Holy of Holies. And while he was moving and they heard the bells out there, they knew atonement was being made and everything was happening. If he made something out of step, the presence of God would strike him dead. All of a sudden it'd be quiet. They would pull him out with that rope back out from under the temple. They knew there had been a mistake. Man, there was a lot to getting your sins covered, a lot to experience, and only one guy got to see the glory of God. Today, by the blood of Jesus, we can come into his house, we can worship, and we can experience the presence of God. There's something about corporate worship, something dynamic about us being together. Why do we gather? We gather to encourage each other. We gather to encourage, not neglecting, verse 25, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. See, if you're not here, I can't encourage you. If you're not here, you can't encourage me. There's something about looking in somebody's face. Jeb, step up here. There's something about looking in somebody's face. Jeb, it's good to see you today.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad you're here. I see you posting those scriptures online, and it's a blessing. I'm thankful for what God's done in you. You know what that does? That builds him up. Gives me an opportunity to bless this boy who's doing everything he can to live righteous, but to speak into his life. Listen to me. Stick around after church. Some of you run out that door so fast. Why don't you stick around? You say, I don't know nobody. Look at somebody in the eye and say, I'm glad you're at church. I don't think we've met, but I'm sure glad you're here. I'm a part of this church. Amen. What is there that we got to get on that we can't stop to encourage someone in the things of God? You never know when you tell someone, I love you. I'm glad you're at church. Thank you for it. You never know what they might have experienced that week. You never know what hope it might bring them. We gather to worship. We gather. It's probably the most basic thing we do to encourage. And it says all the more as we see the day approaching. How many believe Jesus Christ is coming back soon? Do you? Are you watching the signs of the time? Do you recognize that probably the only thing that prohibits the coming of God is that the gospel may have not yet been preached in all the world, but with the technology we have today, the moment that the gospel could be preached everywhere, then Jesus Christ will return. And the Bible says that we should encourage each other all the more as we see that day approaching. Amen. Come on now. Jesus is coming. Let's encourage one another. You know what? Someone who doesn't enjoy church, I don't think they're really going to enjoy heaven. Because you're going to spend eternity with God's people. And church is a little bit of helping us get ready for eternity. And learning and growing and discipling. Are you following me here today? Listen, what do? We spiritually motivate. Let us consider, verse number 24, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Look and listen. Some of you don't stir up to love and good works. There's a few of you. Everybody look right here because we know who they are, so don't look at anybody. They just stir it up. We don't need any more stir it up, folks. We need some folks that are encouraging people, stir up. What did the Apostle Paul say to Timothy? Stir up the gift that's within you. That's what preaching, exhorting. I'm here to stir up. Hey, some of you need to get in church. Hello. Some of you need to start tithing. Some of you need to get your hands off the back of the seat and stop sitting with your arms closed and get your hands. Well, I don't feel it. Well, it's not about your feeling. It's about a worthy God. God didn't call you to be an observer or a critic. He called you to be a worshiper. Hello? And so there needs to be some stirring up to good works, to follow after God, to quit gossiping, quit being so negative, start being an encourager. We spiritually motivate. Let me tell you something else about coming together. We witness. Our gathering together, the fact that there's a cop out on the corner that's going to direct traffic is a testimony to every vacationer and every person who lives on our island that there's a church where people are gathering and they're worshiping God. When you get in your car on Sunday morning and you pull out of your driveway, you're telling people, I'm going to church and I'm going to worship the Lord. It is a testimony. And I believe as we worship, one of the greatest testimonies in all the world is a church that'll lift their heart and their hands toward heaven. Because there's some men, there's some women who come to church and think it's a bunch of fakes and think it's just, well, what good? But when they see some people authentically worship God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Listen, when you sit there and you look and you snare your nose and you just observe, you're a detriment to the testimony of the goodness and the living God. Listen, when we worship, let's give a testimony. He's alive and he's powerful. He's worthy.